This is me recording my talk. This is a program called Audacity. I just love it. I'm putting in a little plug for it here right at the beginning of the talk because it is being recorded. It's freeware. I paid nothing for this. It works beautifully, and it's going to record my entire talk and save it as MP3 and or whatever I want it to save it as, and it won't crash my computer in the process. So I just thought I'd mention that off the top. Okay, so some of you are here just for this afternoon, so actually, since you missed this morning, what I'll do, I do have the recordings from this morning, so we'll just play the recording for you. Yeah. The jokes get better as time goes on. Alright, okay, let's minimize this, and I'll check that every once in a while, because in Canberra, it stopped after 27 minutes. I did three talks in Canberra, and the first two, neural networks, semantic web, wavy, handy. It was kind of, well, okay. The third talk was going really well. I was really pleased with it, and that's when the tape stopped at 27 minutes. So I blame Internet Explorer. So today I've promised you for this afternoon, I've promised many things to many people, which is never good, but it's the way of life. What have I promised you? Open education, the semantic web, and the personalization of e-learning. See, silly me. Planning this talk and other talks, I said to the organizers, well, here are the sorts of things I can cover. Pick something. So we've got semantic web, open education, and personalization of e-learning. In Canberra, I had quality of e-learning and the new learner. You try to combine those. And so now we've got something even a little more interesting. And then this morning, I talked quite a bit about how I approach e-learning. I talked about, now you're all going to regret having missed it, by the way. Talked about my website, talked a lot about learning objects and learning object metadata. We went through the theory of object-oriented programming. That was a lot of fun. It was like, you know, computer science 201 in 15 minutes. It was great. And actually, I felt confident that everybody could leave after that and go and start coding object-oriented software. That's working by results, right? Well, we'll do measurement later. They'll just say we had these outcomes. And so what I promised those people is that in the afternoon session, I'd move from simple learning object metadata and start talking a little bit about what I think about resource distribution networks and things like that. Now, of course, all of that dovetails nicely into the semantic web and personalization. If I kind of nudge it and push it a little bit, I can even get the plug-in for open education. I do want to get the plug-in for open education because I don't always get to talk. This is a good-sized group here, and I don't always get to talk to a good-sized group, and I never get to talk to you guys. So I want to make sure that I fly the flag a little bit and say the good words for what I think is the good thing. So very loosely, and I'm going to cheat royally, and that's me. And I'm going to use as my starting point the slides from the Techno Frontier thing that I did in Canberra, and just because it worked so well. And I figured you guys would rather have something that worked well than something that demonstrably didn't. So that's kind of the plan. I'm going to basically work through the material that's here, and we're going to ease our way gently into some really interesting stuff. I'm going to start talking a little bit about wikis and blogs, and then we'll get a little more complex and start talking about RSS. If I remember, I forgot to do this in Canberra, but if I remember, I'll show you the back end of my own website. But the more interesting thing is to look at EduRSS, what EduRSS does, how this applies to learning objects, how this becomes the personalization of e-learning through the process of self-organizing networks, and why open education is necessary for this all to work in the first place. That's the plan. Made it up on the fly. No, I'm kidding. How does that sound to all of you? Okay. Now, just the standard... Oh, we have a break sometime, right? He says, yeah, hopefully.
When you're ready to take that middle break.
Okay, so after the break, then, we'll get started. Oh, well, not now. Okay, we're going from 2 to 5. Somewhere in there. Okay. Right. Any time. We got lots of time. This is so wonderful. I had to do this stuff in like less than an hour in Canberra. And it's like, oh. You got a question. You got a comment. You want to talk about world affairs. Disease control in sub-Saharan Africa. Whatever. This talk's for you. I guess people paid for it. I don't know. Somebody paid for it. Anyways, I came all the way here not just to listen to myself, but to be able to dialogue and interact and to actually have some sort of communication. So now I depend on you guys for the interaction part of it. So if you have comments, speak out. If you don't want to interrupt me, just wave your hand such that I can see it. And keeping in mind I have social eyes. And I'll finish my sentence because I'm like that. And then we'll get on with your comment. Sounds good? All right. Got some nods. Rock and roll. He's on a roll now. All right. Let's start, and for the people this morning saying, oh, you're doing wikis again. But I want to start this afternoon with wikis ever so briefly. I'm not going to linger very long on them. But the wiki is the very beginning of the sort of concept that I want to illustrate this afternoon. So let's pop into a wiki. This is my wiki. Here is my wiki. And my wiki looks just like an ordinary web page, and in fact it is just an ordinary web page. But the distinction between a wiki and an ordinary web page is at the bottom of the wiki there's a link that says edit this page. And when I click on edit this page, I get an editing window and I can enter in whatever I want. You can see I did it this morning because I have Hello Sunshine Coast. So I'll just customize that. What do we call that? Localization, yes. Afternoon session. All right, so I've just added some text and I'll save that and we'll wait a few minutes because we're on ISDN so it's slow. And there we go. I've just edited my page. Wikis are wonderful. I love wikis. Let me show you something that I didn't show in the morning just because it's fun. I really want to emphasize how easy these things are to use. Here's the link. Here's how I created a link on my thing. You just type in the link. But here's something that's even more fun. Red, blue, don't worry about the spelling. Green, orange, pink. I need more colors. Somebody shout out some colors, please.
Teal.
Yellow.
Purple.
I can't spell goose or whatever that was. Any more? Indigo. I don't think that's a real color, but we'll leave that aside.
Orange.
That's a repeat, but who cares?
Black.
Is black a color or black? Let's go with white as well. Yeah, that'll make the point. That's pretty simple, right? Just some words and lines in them. I'll save the page, and what you will see is that the wiki has created a nice table for me. It's that simple. I love wikis. Pardon? Pictures, we can import them very easily just by putting in the address of the picture. In fact, if you forget as I forget these things sometimes. Oh yeah, somebody erased my wiki. Help. Now I have to change this. See, now the thing about a wiki is, no, that's not it. The thing about a wiki is that anybody can come in and edit a page. And there's no restrictions on it. I didn't expect this not to be here. This is the thing with a wiki is sometimes the page disappears on you or gets changed. Now, I've forgotten how to get it back. I haven't actually practiced this. I'm not going to get it back. Oh, that's too bad. I'll figure that out later. It's the first time it's ever happened to me on my own wiki. But what happened is nothing like live TV. What happens is somebody comes in and makes a change, and in principle, although I'm demonstrating my incapacity to do this on the fly in front of an audience, if you don't like the change that the person has made, and in this case the person has erased all of my help files, you can come in to the wiki version differences and revert to the original page. Now, for some reason, I don't seem to be having these versions. So, unfortunately, I can't get to it, so I can't get back to my help, so I can't say how to put an image in. But trust me, it's real simple. But the way it's supposed to work in principle is you go back, pick a previous version, and restore the page the way it was. And other people know how to do this. And me, on my own wiki, I have failed. Isn't that fun? Well, that's what I get for not checking the page right before the talk. Anyhow, the main point I want to emphasize about the wiki, aside from the ease of, aside from the openness and the fact that anybody can come in and make a change, is the idea of it being a very easy editing interface. It takes no effort to work in a wiki, virtually none at all. What they call a wiki form is you open up the editing screen, you start typing. And for the most part, the wiki software will take care of all the formatting and that for you. Now, this is the leading edge to a whole family of technologies that are coming, that are here almost, that haven't perhaps yet permeated the educational institution, but are becoming an important wave of change washing through the web. Yes. Wikis, they're a bit more recent than blogs. I know it's at least 4 or 5 years. It may well be longer. If you want to see something neat, and I did show the people before lunch, just to show that this isn't all theory and you really can restore pages and all of that. There is a site on the World Wide Web called Wikipedia. Wikipedia is an online encyclopedia, and it'll come up here eventually. What's interesting about Wikipedia and what's important about it is that in terms of quality of content, and there have been studies, it compares favorably with Encyclopedia Britannica. In terms of amount of content, number of articles, range of articles, it has more content than Encyclopedia Britannica. In terms of users, it has more readers than Encyclopedia Britannica. It is actually more used than the encyclopedia. And what's really cool about Wiki is it didn't cost a dime to produce. It's completely written by volunteers all around the web. They contribute anonymously. They contribute in this open space that anybody can edit. And the articles that result, because of the ease of making changes, if somebody goes in and defaces a page, somebody else comes in and fixes it. And there are many more people fixing things than defacing things. And the logic of that just works. And there are hundreds, thousands, I don't know how many pages, Czechoslovakia. You won't see that in Encyclopedia Britannica. And this is the thing. Everything you see in Encyclopedia Britannica, you will see here. But what you'll see here is all kinds of stuff that would never appear in the print encyclopedia because there isn't room. This is the capacity of a wiki. I'm just, I only installed the wiki on my website just prior to my trip here, which is why I'm a little rusty with it. But I'm really impressed with the potential.
Isn't there a few questions about some of the validity of the information as a recent thing where people deliberately put false information in Wikipedia to see if it could be picked up?
And it was. It was picked up almost immediately, like within a few minutes of it being posted. It was corrected. There were some articles recently about how unreliable and how bad Wikipedia was, but when you do a point-for-point comparison of the accuracy of information, it actually is very good. And it does raise the question of, you know, do you need credentialed, carefully selected, highly paid authors in order to write a credible encyclopedia? And the answer appears to be no. There's a real lesson in that. It's a lesson that should scare highly paid, credentialed. I really take some lessons from that. The internet produces something different. This is one of the themes in the background that's lurking in all of the talks that I'm doing here in Australia. And it's kind of the wisdom of crowd meme, and it's kind of the open cooperation meme, and it's kind of the power of networks meme. But the thing is, the internet is producing a new way of generating, storing, recording knowledge that goes quite beyond the ways of generating, storing, recording, passing on knowledge that we had before. And the model that we have of the expert or the guru standing in front of the room, we're living that model at the moment. Although, that model is changing. I mean, you've already seen in the first 5 minutes of this talk the fallibility of the guru standing in the front of the room. Nobody knows everything. I don't know the state of my own website. That's the reality of the internet, and we're approaching a state where we have to think of knowledge creation, knowledge generation, knowledge transmission as a collective phenomenon and not something that is done by individuals. It's going to be very hard to deal with. All of that was an aside, but I think it was an important aside. So if anyone's ever transcribing this tape, put it in brackets. I won't tell you where to start, though, just for fun. All right. Oops, now where was I? Back. There we go. So, that's the wiki. Now, there's a whole range now. Get a little more sophisticated, a little more formal. There's a whole range of tools that are free and are open source and can be used to create websites. And I've linked to a couple here that I've got up and running on my own system. Here's one called Scoop. As you can see, I was in Scoop in Canberra as well. Now, I have to remember my... so many passwords. Who can remember? There we go. This is the back end of Scoop. This is what the administrator sees. What Scoop is? Scoop is a content management system that's designed for the facilitation of news websites, hence the name Scoop. And it usually is news, current affairs, politics, things like this. This is a piece of software written in Perl. The wiki that we just saw was written in a language called PHP. Just as an aside, PHP, free. Perl, free. These programming languages are free. There's no licenses encumbering them. And they're very easy to use, very easy to install software with. So this one is written in Perl. Perl is the language I usually use when I do programming, so that's why I wanted to have Scoop in here and be playing around with that. I did have some user install issues, so, you know, it's not the be-all and end-all, and I probably in the end won't use it, even though I like Perl. What you can do with this piece of software is submit new articles. Here's the submission screen. Please choose a section. I only have one section. We'll give it a title. Hello, Sunshine. Spell Sunshine correctly. Coast. And your tape just ran out. We'll just pause here while she changes her tape. But don't feel on the spot.
As fast as I can.
Oh, don't rush. I'm not the one waiting in the hall of them. So, and that major point concluded. I'm an evil, evil person. Hello, it's Nisa, right? Okay. So, you can see that was pretty simple, right? I just typed some stuff in. I'm allowed to use some HTML, and the HTML is ordinary HTML, which makes people happy if they know HTML already, and really confuses them if they don't. Here's my submission now. Hello, Nisa. Let's go back to the front page, and there it is. That's all there was to adding a new news item to my website. Now, of course, typically my news items would be more than 2 words long. And they may include links and things like that. If I was another person and not the administrator of this site, when I submitted the news article, it would actually go into my moderation screen. And then I, as the administrator, would say, yes, we'll pass it on into the site, or no, we won't pass it on into the site. There are the moderation capacities. All kinds of stuff that you can set in the back end. It's, to a large degree, it's menu-driven. You know, what your default homepage is, user group, da-da-da-da-da-da. A lot of stuff you'll never use and don't really need, but it's there just in case you do. Again, the main point here, and it's a twofold main point. First point, this is free software. And it's very powerful software, but crucially, it's easy to use. You saw how easy it was for me to add a story to this. Now, let me just jump back. Here's another one. This is called PostNuke. Installed this on my website. It took me maybe 5 minutes to do the full install. And that's, you know, disk read writes take a certain amount of time. I didn't really have to do anything. Now, let's log into this. Now, my main problem with this, of course, is remembering my password. And hang tight. Looks like it likes me. Oh, what's going on here? Well, that's odd. This worked 2 days ago. Isn't that strange? Oh, I seem to be here. Am I in the admin? Yes. Okay. That was pretty weird. Well, that's okay. Well, that happens sometimes. I have no idea what that was, but there you go. This is a content management system called PostNuke. Way back in prehistory, 2-3 years ago, this project was under the name PHPNuke. PHP is the name of a programming language, a very popular language. And the people who were the main force behind PHPNuke decided to make this commercial software that they would sell rather than free software that would be given away. And the community felt betrayed, as they should. And what happened was what they call in the open source community a fork. And PostNuke, and PHPNuke, PostNuke, right? PostNuke is the offshoot from PHPNuke. It's the free one. I mention all of this because if you're looking for this particular software, don't be fooled. PHPNuke will start asking you for money. PostNuke will stay free for you. Very important. Well, at least to me, because I'm cheap. Once again, you can submit stories and things like that. I'll pop into the administration menu. This is the administration menu. Here's the add story screen. And it's a little more complicated, but not particularly. Hello, Sunshine Coast. Sunshine Coach. Does anyone call it Sunshine Coat? Probably not. I'll pick a topic, category articles, use visual mode, cancel. That use visual mode thing is an artifact of Internet Explorer. I don't know why. Hello, Mitch. Today. And I'll preview my story. PostNuke likes me to preview. So here's my story. Ah, it looks pretty nice. And it's got a little picture beside it. And so now I'll submit my story. Oops, I previewed again. So let's actually submit it this time. Post story. And I want you to think about how easy this is. This is not hard. So after your 5-minute stall, install, there we go. There's my story being posted on my website. It's that simple.
Yeah, instead of how customizable is that?
This is so customizable, it's not funny. Huge customizability. Anything on this can be changed. And this is the administration screen. Admin messages, downloads, referred, previews. There'll be a page. There's templates. I can change all the templates. The setup of the box. Well, of course, I'm still on the admin screen. But the setup of all the boxes. I can set up all the boxes that I want. Here are the different sections that I could add. Sorry, what am I looking for? Blocks, right. Here are the different blocks of predefined content that I can add. Some of this defines content that's generated by my system. Some of these define content that can be brought in from external systems. The display, the position, the whole works can be changed. It takes a little bit to learn how to do all of that. But that's okay because it works out of the box. And so you get it going, and then you have time. And, you know, over time, you try one thing, you try another. It's not going to break or fall apart, although it might take you to a blank page once in a while, and we don't know why. Personally, I blame Internet Explorer for that. Well, it's never happened in Firefox. It's standard causal reasoning, right? If A, then B. And if not A, then not B, you have a correlation. And if you have a theory, Internet Explorer doesn't work, you have cause. So, I conclude Internet Explorer caused the pager. That's the mind of a scientist at work. So, yeah, you can, there's all kinds of customization things you can do. Again, free software. Colleges, universities, school systems are actually literally paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for software that does less. Much less. And is harder to use. And it just kills me when I see stuff like that. This is as good as anything commercial that's on the market in the area of a content management system. And if you don't like Scoop, and if you don't like PostNuke, and you don't want to pay money for PHPNuke, there's Drupal, there's Plon, and there's a host of other systems that are open source and free.
So, where's the database house where you put up the story? Are you accessing a local database or
yes.
Remote?
Either. Typically these systems will use MySQL, although some of them are compatible as well with Firefox. These are free database engines, free open source database engines, very powerful and competitive. And basically, you'll define your database access in the system startup configuration. See, the address of your database, either the URL or the domain name or local host, and then the sign-in and the password. Very simple.
Stephen, the Victorian tapes have a system called The Source, which is built on plum.
There you go, yeah.
And they're sure. using it extensively and finding it's just cool.
Yeah. The Plone is really popular. I thought about installing a copy of Plone as well. I may well one day. It's just, people at work, they gave me 20 gig and they expect me to do this stuff on a 20 gig server, and I sort of, guys, I'm installing multiple instances of content management systems here, three or four databases, and give me a break. But plus, I'm uploading all my nice pictures, which is what's really killing the disk space, but I don't tell them that. Now, so that's basically what I want to say about content management systems. If you think this is cool, follow this up, by all means, or write me an email or whatever. There's a whole community out there dedicated. It's like Wikipedia, except they're writing software. And they're writing this really cool, wonderful software.
So you're saying that there's a lot of commercial available content management systems that you pay a lot of money for, but you don't get as much out as some of these ones, as for example, that
right.
It's been interesting. I've been thinking along those lines. I've been wondering how much value a lot of these have got.
Well, I'm not the first to come up with this idea, but like, these large commercial systems are what they call golf course ware. If you're wondering what golf course ware is, the salespeople from these companies, they don't contact the people who actually work with these systems. They go to special conferences that the college or university presidents or vice presidents or boards go to. And those conferences exist. I've gone to them. I've actually spoken at some. I feel like the sheep and wolves clothing or whatever. I feel like a real infiltrator. Anyhow, so they strike up these relations with these university presidents and chairman of the board and so on, and they go out and they play golf, and the salesperson for the $2 million content management system convinces the university president that they just have to have one. The university president comes back to campus and says, we're going to implement a content management system, and I've got just the product because I've done my research. And you think this is cynical? I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen on more than one occasion. And this stuff, the free stuff, quite literally is better. I mean, I've worked with these other systems as well. Of course, I can't just install them on my system because, you need to spend lots of money. I don't have lots of money. But, I've worked with them. Standards Council of Canada, ISO, has this major conference and content management system. It's just a nightmare to navigate through, and it's slow. I'm sort of sitting there, why aren't you using Drupal? But it's the Standards Council of Canada, so they're not going to do that.
Steve, any comment on the DSpace project?
On the who?
DSpace.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to DSpace is sort of where I'm going. I didn't plan to talk about DSpace specifically, but DSpace is an instance of a more general type of project called Open Archives Initiative. This is what happens when the Americans get the concept and they rebrand it, and now it's made in MIT rather than made in Europe, which is where the concept is originally from. That's really cynical, but there it is. I mean, OAI, MIT brands it, DSpace. Oh, we invented it now. But that said, aside from the rebranding issue, the concept is good. When I start talking about harvesting systems, I'm going to talk about them a little bit later. Remind me, and because I'll forget to talk about OAI, because I generally do right in that context, but that's where it fits in. It's the right kind of project. DSpace is the sort of technology that I think is good technology in this context. Any more comments while we're...
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you're talking about content management systems. How do you distinguish that from learning management systems in the same scenario?
Well, there's so little difference in my mind. I look at these things as a programmer, and I look at them, and you know, something like Blackboard or WebCT is doing pretty much the same thing as Scoop or Drupal or PostNuke, right? They've got data entities, they're flinging data entities around, storing them, presenting them in pages. Now, a learning management system will give you somewhat more sophisticated navigation because you know, you need the little menu at the side. And, of course, it will be branded as a learning system. And in an LMS, the communication features are usually a bit more tightly integrated. So the discussion board and things like that are a bit more tightly integrated. And then the big selling point for these things on the golf course is, you know, they link into the student information management system, which, of course, these don't do. The learning management system will contain things that are education specific, such as quiz generators and things like that, perhaps some online testing. You would never see that in Drupal or so on. But, I mean, Moodle, which is not part of this talk, because I don't really live in the world of learning management systems anymore, but Moodle is an open source learning management system. It's written, as I recall, in PHP. And I'm getting a nod. Good, I got it right. 50-50 chance, got it in one. And it is basically, you take the shell of one of these content management systems and you add some of this learning capacity and you have Moodle. Moodle and PostNuke, two peas in a pod, really. They're just slightly different versions of the same thing. And the thing is, in the open source community, they've got it down how to handle this stuff. The database interface, the log and all of that, they're real standard routines or libraries for all of this stuff. So it's becoming possible, really, to churn these things out with much less difficulty than it was even just a few years ago. So, but yeah, you know, I look at learning management systems, and, you know, I kind of ask, well, what am I buying for my learning management system? You know, particularly if I don't care about the grade uploads or, you know, the student management system and that. I mean, that's going to cost money because at the other end you got something silly like SAP or whatever. You know, so anything there is going to cost you a lot of money. But, you know, I look at learning management system and I really ask, what are you buying, really? And it's Moodle, it's PostNuke, it's, you know, I just don't see the value in it. It's a content management system, really. And then it's just different ways of capturing the content, storing the content. The rest of the capacity, the text in, the text out, all of these things, I'll talk about it in a little bit. Because learning management systems, like, and especially with the learning content management system, the big promise is, of course, shareable learning objects. Now, I haven't reached that, really, in the learning management system world. But with RSS feeds, which I will talk about in just a few moments, these systems are already sharing content. It already works in this world. And it's still one day land in the world of learning management systems. So, yeah, that's kind of where I stand on that. Any other comments, questions? Have I been controversial enough yet? People in the back room, sort of in the back row, wincing because they bought one. But that's okay. I mean, I bought Windows once. I'm not a major institution, but it's the same sort of thing.
Can I just chip in one local
yes,
fact that people may know or may not know? There are a number of web hosting companies in Australia, and there's actually one on the Gold Coast, which is quite good, where you can have yourself a hosted website for around about $14 a month that has plenty of room on the server. And it has a thing on board called Fantastico. And you may click the button on Fantastico, install one of those the blogging software or the content management system. Quite a few of the ones that Stephen's talked about this morning are there, totally free of charge. Click the button, it's installed, opens up into the admin, and you're away, and it can literally take you 15 minutes to have a website looking real cool, up and running, with discussion boards, forums, news spaces, space to put your photograph, a blog for the kids to use in your class. It's magic. That's how I built my eLearn website. It's built in Mamba. Off Fantastico. It cost me $20 a month, and it's so easy to maintain. Anybody can maintain the back end of it. It's just all menu driven. So it's there for us. We just have to get in and start playing with this stuff and experimenting with it.
I'm just looking for it. It might take me a second, but you're absolutely right with those observations. And
in fact, I have Moodle running on the back end of my website. You can go play in it. You just have to ask me to give you a login. And you can go and play as a teacher and build yourself a course and get the look and the feel of it. So you can send me an email and I'll create you a login. Just so that you can experience these sorts of things.
No, I can't find it. Because it's bookmarked. The back end of News Trolls, which is a site that I run, has exactly what you've described. You click a button and it installs a wiki. You click a button and it installs PostNuke. Or actually, that one installs PHPNuke, so it doesn't work quite right. But
it's about 20. PHP applications, yeah. Freely available through Fantastico.
Sure.
Do a search on Fantastico web hosting. What, there's one Fantastico website which is a porn site, so be careful. That was a shock. If you put web hosting and Fantastico together in a Google search, it will come up with a whole lot of cheap web hosting that you can install that stuff on and just go play. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah, and it is very cheap. Absolutely cheap.
Virtually
nothing. Yeah. So I run News Trolls off a hosted service because I've got gigs and gigs and gigs of bandwidth and server admin support and all of this back end stuff. Of course, me being me, I have all of this code available to me, and News Trolls itself runs all off of software that I wrote myself. So go figure. But that's the way I am. But really, I mean, the stuff that's out there, it's so flexible. It does so much. And the flip side is, it's very easy to use. And again, this is the point I'm trying to emphasize. We're at the beginning of this, but this stuff is so easy to use. Your kids can and are already using it, for sure. Well, maybe not your kids specifically. You know. Now, how are we doing? We got time for another section. I want to talk a little bit about blogs. I don't want to talk about, well, maybe I will talk a lot about blogs, but let me ask first of all, how many of you are familiar with blogs? Yeah, pretty almost everyone. A blog is a website that's very similar to the wiki and the content management system that we've just seen. What characterizes a blog, makes it distinct, is typically a blog is owned and run by one person. The content of a blog is submitted and displayed in chronological order. In other words, when you make an entry to a blog, it'll be today's entry. It's very similar to an online journal. And in fact, there is a blog hosting service called Live Journal. But blogs are sometimes misrepresented as being like online journals, you know, and there's, you know, teenage girls' angst and boyfriends and things like that. And if you go to Live Journal and look around, there is, you know, a certain amount of that. But blogs are being used in all sectors of society right now. A lot of people consider my own newsletter to be a blog. I persist in calling it a newsletter, partly because it existed before blogs existed. And so I had the name, and I'm not going to change, because I'm like that. There are many blogs in our field. David Wiley has a blog. Darcy Norm, Albert Ip just started one recently. Probably a lot of the people, How many of you have blogs? 1, 2. Okay. Well, you should all get one. One piece of blogging software that I have been playing with is called WordPress. WordPress became recently popular after another blogging software called MovableType, which really was a pioneer in the field. Suddenly, there's your tape thing again. I'm stalling. Yes, that's right, and I'm really glad you made that point. That's the take-home message for this session. Oh, just evil. I'm thinking Bugs Bunny. So anyhow, MovableType decided, oh, now we got all these users and all these developers, we'll triple our prices. And change the licensing agreement, and there were people using MovableType in schools, and I had like 8 to 10 different blogs going, and all of a sudden every blog had to have its own license and all. Huge kerfuffle. And Mark Pilgrim, who's a major authority on blogs and this kind of software, said, this is the proof, said Pilgrim, this is the proof proprietary software will never work, because they can always do this to you. And, there's a point to that. Your software expires. I told the group before about my Real Media software expiring on the airplane as I flew from Saskatoon to Moncton. And it says, you have to connect to the internet to renew your software. I'm 35,000 feet and 5 hours away from the internet. It's not going to happen. To me, that's just stuff that's broken. Right? Software that expires is broken. Software with a license suddenly changes and they can charge you 3 times, 5 times, or whatever as much. That's broken. Those of you who have worked with WebCT and Blackboard, you guys probably remember the sudden price increases of a few years ago and the economic revenue generator called Vista, which is what WebCT used to be. So there's an argument there. WordPress is free. It's open source. I can't show you the admin because I messed up the code. The nice thing about open source is you can go in and change the code and customize it. The problem with open source is you can go in and change the code and customize it. I broke it, and I haven't had a chance to fix it before this talk. I'm sure it's something stupid, but I just, I'm working with dial-up and things like that. You can't do any of this stuff on dial-up. So if there's anything you need to tell your politicians, broadband, now. Gotta have it. It's so crucial. And you wouldn't, those of you who don't have it won't believe the difference that it makes in your life. You just approach the internet in a completely different way. One piece of software I can show you the back end of is Blogger. Blogger's not going to go anywhere. It was started up by a company called Pyra, and they had a pretty good go at it for a while, and then it was bought out by a slightly larger company called Google. And Google owns Blogger now. And let's see if I can remember my login. So many passwords. I really, really hate all this logging in. That's got to change. That likes me. So I have a little play blog in Blogger. I have little play blogs in all of these systems. So. I tried to show Radio Userland in Canberra. It's a desktop-based blog, but it had expired. And we all had a good laugh about that and discussed the shiny prospects for that company, where you're suddenly cut off from the thing you were working on for the last 2 years. So, create a new post. Now, we've seen the wiki, we've seen the content management system, now we're going to see a blog. Again, we're on ISDN, so it's slow, so we have to wait for a few minutes. On my computer, just like that. So, hello. I have no imagination with these, you probably noticed. Actually, this is really exhibiting imagination. It's a three-word title. Usually it's just hello or isn't it warm today? And okay, so there's my post, and I'll publish the post. Nice big red button. Google engineers have been at this, and people have their submit buttons, a little tiny thing, submit. I like that, a huge submit button. So I'll republish the blog, and there we go, and let's view my blog. It's going to pop up in a new window for no apparent reason. And I like the mod design on that one. So, and here's the entry that I just posted. That simple. Now, there are a lot of blogs. Wow, that's the world's shortest tape.
You're enjoying it.
We got the 15-minute one in here. Seven and a half minutes on each side. having fun with this. There are quite literally millions of blogs. This is not an exaggeration. This is not hyperbole. There are millions of blogs. And even allowing for abandoned blogs and test play blogs like this, there are still millions of blogs being maintained on a regular basis. And I'll talk about how I know that in just a few minutes. What's happening with blogs, too, and this is really important. We just saw the text-based interface where I type something in. With this blog and with the blogs created by Movable Type and coming on stream for WordPress, you're not restricted to going to the website and typing in the form. You can use SMS and SMS a blog entry in from your telephone. Fire it off. You just post it to your blog. You can phone it in. Just call it in and post to your blog that way. Any way that you can send information these days, you can send information to your blog. It's just unbelievable. They have what is typically called the Blogger API. And basically, it's a means for remote programs to send posts into a user's blog. So this stuff is getting so simple, it is getting as simple as using your phone, quite literally, to the creating your blog on Blogger really is, you think about it, it's done. And then posting to your blog on Blogger is that simple. So it's very easy to see how everyone and anyone could have one and why it's not surprising that millions of people do. I keep expecting blogging to peak. And I've actually written several times over the last year or 2 years, blogging has peaked. Blogging will peak very shortly. Hasn't peaked yet. I wrote a long article in the EDUCAUSE review titled Educational Blogging, which is available on my website. And the use of blogging in learning is just getting going. It is quite literally software that you can use with grade 5 or younger students to get them writing and publishing on the web for themselves for a real audience. This morning I mentioned the blog at the Institut Saint-Joseph in Quebec City, which really is a class of grade 5s who are producing their own blogs, and you know, they all have blogs. And it's quite interesting what Aidan talked about this morning. One of the students went to see the circus. The circus came through town. I don't know what circus. It was just some circus. Elephants and clowns and things like that. And the students, one of the students, you know, wrote a little story. It's not very long. It's in grade 5, right? So 2 paragraphs in an afternoon's work. I'm just kidding. Wrote a little item about going to the circus and watching the circus and all that. A day or two goes by, and you know, the student goes and checks the blog. There's a response in the comments on the blog post, somebody from the circus had done a Google search on the circus, found this post, read this post, and answered the student. I mean, think about the power of technology like that. Think about the giving a grade 5 kid the capacity to talk in a pretty safe environment with people in the circus that he had just gone to see. You know, it just blows me away, that capacity. Wide use of blogs in e-learning. Again, in my article, I list a number of them. I'll remember some of them here, and I'll forget some of them here. But teachers find blogs incredibly useful for things like class calendars, assignments, reminders. They also, particularly in the higher grades in universities, begin to use the blog to pass on stories and information about the field of study. They'll post links to interesting articles. Students themselves will use blogs to report on their own studies. There are a large number of blogs where students are, you know, this is my English 201 blog. Here's my reading for today. Here's what I thought about it, da-da-da-da-da-da, so on and so forth. Students will sometimes work in groups and create what's called a group blog, where they'll use the blog as the center point in planning for a group project. Things like that. The range of use for blogs is almost unlimited, and they are being, especially this year, very widely used in education. All kinds of stuff. If you look at that article, you'll find a bunch of links. People that know a lot about this subject, Will Richardson, Seb Paquette, who works across the hall from me. There's more. Lila Elsinova, who's a Russian studying in the Netherlands. The world's strange. You get all kinds of... It's just amazing. The idea of Russians studying the Netherlands never occurred to me before blogs and the internet, but there you have it. I guess it happens. I could go on, but I'll stop there with blogs and see if there are any comments or questions at that point.
Yes, sir, in that article you referred to, you were talking about towards the end of the article about whether the mere fact that you were using it for education changed the dynamics of the blog itself and the usefulness of it. Can you just expand on that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because it's not all peaches and cream, right? What makes a blog work is that it's personal and it's yours. And you can basically do what you want. It's a forum for self-expression. But in the educational setting, there are typically constraints. And the way blogs are used an awful lot in the educational setting is that the instructor will come up with an assignment and then say, well, now everyone go to your blogs and respond to this. And all of a sudden, when that happens, the blog isn't yours anymore. It might be yours in name, but now you're being told what to do in it. And you're being told what to write in it. And instead of it being some means of self-expression, it simply becomes work. And so there's a tension here. There's a tension in a blog as being a place of self-expression on the one hand, and the use of that self-expression as an instructional device on the other hand. And what's happening in some cases after a class in which a blog is used like that is, one instructor commented, you know, at the end of the course, they drop them like, I forget what the expression was, drop them like hot potatoes or something like that. Just get far away from their blog as they possibly can go, because it's just work. So, you know, I mean, I always say when I talk to people about online learning, you know, what's the one thing that you can tell me about online learning, people ask me, and I say, well, let go. And blogging is a real good instance of this, where if you try to push it, it'll spoil the tool. That's basically what I said in the article, and it really is an important warning. It doesn't automatically become this new form of learning. If you try to use this new tool in the old way, you just get the old results. And there's no real point to using the new tool. You might as well use a pencil and paper, and who cares who's reading it, because it's just another assignment. More comments? All right, I think this is a good time for a break, because we're not at the end of one of these tapes here, so we'll really mess her up. And we'll be breaking for what, an hour and a half? Okay. So we'll get back here at a quarter to four, and then we'll run through from a quarter to four to five. The really interesting stuff is still to come. So this was the preliminary. So we'll see you all in half an hour.
In the room next door to the bistro, I hope you guys straight get down.